This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Joining us on Gwen and Chris is none other than Sam the Great Levitt. Sam, how are you, man? Are you dry up, man? You look like you caught a nice dose of Gatorade last night.
I did. The jacket got wet. The pants got wet. My hair was dripping. Yes, but I did dry off. It's funny. It looked on the video and like in real time like it was somewhat bluish Gatorade, but it was pretty light. And I got to tell you, my pants, which were, you know, khaki-colored pants, I have no stains on them, probably have to get the jacket dry cleaned. But I got fortunate. That was one of my older jackets last night. But yes, a first for me in my baseball career, a Gatorade bath. And I didn't take the brunt of it. Fernando definitely did. But I got part of it, so I do feel like I was initiated into the Gatorade cooler bath at club.
Are you going to send a bill to Manny Machado or whoever it was who tossed the Gatorade that is going to force you to have a bill at the dry cleaner? Or are you just gonna eat this one yourself?
Well, there's no doubt that the guys that were involved, Manny and Fernando, could afford it, but.
Yes,
but I'm thinking Odyssey and Adam Klug. Maybe they'll cover
that. There you go.
Now yes, you're please charge them.
Yeah, please take it out of my salary, Sam. Make sure you take it out of my salary. That's good.
I would say I don't know, man. That might be tough. That might be tough to get that back at that point. I will ask you about being in the building last night because this ball club was down 8-0, and Chris kind of brought this up when. The Padres scored the 7 and the 6. It was as loud in this building as, you know, I've heard in quite some time. What was your take being in the building and kind of seeing the comeback come together the way it did?
Well, I thought the building was actually pretty loud on the Cronenworth home run. And I think that's a credit to the fans here in general. And I don't just say this to say it and because we've got an audience full of Padres fans. I always feel like the crowd's into it, no matter really what the score is. When something good happens for the Padres, the fans here generally respond to it. And I thought it was that way last night after the Cronenworth home run. And then it sort of built from there. I thought, obviously, the momentum offensively the Padres had, but also in the stands by what you heard from the crowd. You could really feel it on the Kim two-run triple in the blink of an eye. It went from 8-0 to 8-4, and you could feel, whether it was on the field or in the stands, I thought you could feel the momentum starting to shift. And then once Bogaerts hit the home run, really became kind of, okay, they've got a real shot to win this game. And to be honest with you, once Bogaerts hit the home run, I kind of felt like they had to win the game because, you know, had they lost at 8-7 or tied it at 8 and ultimately lost or, you know, taken the lead and ultimately lost, I think you could have made the argument. You might as well have just lost 8-0, 8-1, 8-2, and saved kind of the heartache. But you know, good for them. They showed a ton of fight. It's exactly what you want to see, night in, night out. As cliche as that sounds, they showed exactly what you wanted last night, and it came from the big guys, right? It came from the guys that you want to carry this offense for the most part. So a big credit to them, no doubt.
You can relive it on tonight's pregame show. Sam Levitt hosted following our program at 6:05 tonight, and then the Padres and Cubs game two of the series at 7:05. I think you hit on that, Sam. When they got to within 8-7, it felt like they had to win. Right? You got to finish this off. And then Fernando, of course, so good at stepping into the spotlight. And you know, as Tony mentioned earlier, he's the guy you want up there, and he always plays a starring role and plays it well. But then you got to the ninth inning and Suarez comes in, and you have that quick thought in your back of your mind, man, I hope he makes this. Is a save he's really got to get, because you don't want to come all the way back and then lose the game. And you had the 2-3-4 hitters right in the heart of their lineup, and yet the crowd would not let him not get the job done. It felt like he rode their wave to that save.
Yeah, I loved it. 14 straight fastballs, right? I mean, he said to the middle of that lineup, come get it. And he blew it by him and obviously got a pop out in there as well. But, look, I think one of the real bright spots of this early season, no doubt, has been the fact that Robert Suarez has A, performed really well, but B, also shown you that he can give you multiple innings. And he has no problem, even this early in a season, going and getting four or five outs. So I think in the grand picture of the year so far, even though they're sitting at 6-7, you'd like the record to be a little bit better. I think the fact that Suarez, at least early, has really established himself as this team's closer and somebody who can go get you more than three outs, I think is really, really important in the short and long run. And I'll also say about the rally, I talked about the big guys carrying the way, and they did. But there were so many different aspects to that rally, right? Whether you want to point to, obviously, the at-bat that Cronenworth had. Something clicked for this team offensively once he had that at-bat. There was a clear change. And, by the way, it got Assad out of the game, who really they had not done anything against until that two-run homer. But the fact that Pedro Avila was able to settle down and give him two scoreless innings after giving up four in the fourth. The fact that Peralta and De Los Santos were able to keep it a one-run game. I mean, that kind of comeback, the focus, the memories are always, about the offense and the rally, but there are some other elements to it where you've got to keep that a one-run game at that time, and they did. So, Suarez, obviously a big part of it, shutting the door, and obviously the rest of the bullpen, aside from the one inning from Avila, they did a good job keeping it at 8-0 and then keeping it at 8-7.
Yeah, I turned to Jesse at one point after Avila's inning is like, after he came out, I was like, they got to throw up zeros from this point on. And that bullpen did just that. You mentioned Jake Cronenworth, who, is coming off of a rough year. He seems to be thriving right now after some of the changes he's made, and having Victor Rodriguez at the helm here, he's swinging a bat well. And it wasn't just the homer. It was kind of the way he went about that at bat. And it wasn't just him. Profar has had those kind of mm-hmm. Jackson Merrill had those kind of at bats. It seemed to be, and that was discussed after the game, it seemed to be what Mike Shildt kind of leaned on when he was thinking about waving a white flag.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that they were able to grind out at bats like that, and you said it, Tony, whether it was Cronenworth, whether it was Profar, whether it was Merrill, the fact that they were down 8 runs, and Cronenworth in particular in that spot was able to grind out that kind of at bat, and then ultimately have the result he did with the home run, I hope it says something about this team. I mean, in the first week of the year, we talked a lot about early signs and indicators, right, that this team was different than what it was a year ago. And then we have the 6-game stretch before last night where the offense isn't doing really much and they can't score than a few runs in a game. And you've got some of the memories and the feelings and some of the things and problems we saw last year sort of creeping back in. But, I talked on Sunday after the game in San Francisco about that game being one you could pull right from the 2023 book, put it on the table and say, yep, that's one of those games from 2023 in San Francisco, right? And Sunday felt that way. Last night did not feel like 2023.
That was the kind of 2022 right there.
Right. That was the kind of grinding out at bats, no matter the score, stringing hits together, moving the line, creating some momentum, and then ultimately coming up with the big swings and big moments when you need them. I mean, how about Fernando? I mean, I know I'm stating the obvious here, but to get knocked down on the first pitch and then the second pitch to hit one out, I mean, that is, I mean, I wasn't here for it, but that sounds to me kind of like 2021 Fernando Tatis Jr., right? The flair for the dramatic, the feel for the moment, the big swing, everything he did but before the injuries. So, I think you hope in the long run it says something about this group, and I thought no doubt last night that felt uniquely 2024, you hope, and not very much like 2023, and you hope you have more nights like those. So to their credit, you hope it's something now they can build on.
I don't know. You can talk all you want about that game last night, but I think it all comes down to Spike Lee, and I think it's got to be the shoes. It's got to be
Mars Blackman.
Mars Blackman, yeah, not Spike Lee. Spike Lee as Mars Blackman. It's got to be the shoes. Fernando is nothing if not an entertainer, Sammy. And I think that, you know, this is one of the real pleasures that we're getting from watching this guy play on a daily basis. He lives for running out there to right field before the game and stirring up the crowd. He loves, you know, giving them a little extra flair with the shoes and a little extra flair with the dramatic. And by the way, Scraby said he timed it, and he ran around the bases in exactly 19 seconds. Whether he did that on purpose or not, it's still another tribute to Tony Gwynn. You know, just talk about covering this guy. And just being around him, you get to do something that not very many of us do, and that's, you know, interview him. We, you know, we've been begging for a Fernando interview, if any Padre people are listening, for a while now, and we haven't had him on this show that I can recall in a while.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you get to talk to him all the time. I mean, he's so fun, and he's such an amazing presence.
Yeah, I think there are a few things that stand out about Fernando when you hear from him every day and you get the chance to talk to him. Number one, I think he's somebody who really understands his responsibility as a key player, as a star in the game and for his team. I mean, I don't think it's talked about enough. Throughout last season, I mean, he was up there in front of the media most nights talking, right? And you know, accountable, and I just find him to really understand, you know, what he means to this team, what he means to this city, how important he is, the responsibility he has between the player he is, the contract. The vibe I've always had is that he really gets it, and he understands what that responsibility is. And he's somebody who obviously plays with joy and energy, and he's super fun to watch, and it's part of why he's so electric. It's part of why the fans love him here so much. It's part of the why, you know, younger fans love him so much, because he just brings this joy to the game. But he also has this, I think when you talk again about understanding, like an understanding of the moment. He always says it, right? Something along the lines of doing what the game asks of him, you know? And I just think he understands what a game is presenting, what situations present, and kind of gets what his role is and understands that he's got to step up and be that guy when his team needs it. And again, I know that sounds super cliche, but we saw it in 21, and man, we saw it here last night. So, you know, I'm always impressed by just Fernando and you know, what he continues to show. And obviously he went through a lot, you know, in 22 and then coming back last year from the suspension and the injuries. But I'm very, very excited, you know, to see what his mid to late 20s look like and really the next decade or so, because I think there are a lot of great things ahead, and he's going to be a, you know, a real force and a real kind of, you know, leading part of this team, no doubt.
Pray for health, because if he's healthy,
yeah,
it's going to be, the sky is honestly the limit for Toddy. Sam, as always, man, terrific job last night, and thanks for coming on and kind of peeling the curtain back for us.
All right, guys, thanks so much. Appreciate it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.